Whether you live in a country ruled by a dictator or by elected leaders, God has ordained a purpose for your government. Find out what that purpose is and how God's Word says you should respond to your leaders. That's today on Grace to You. It seems people are constantly debating the role of government, whether it's political opponents attacking each other, college students arguing in free speech forums, or family members engaging in spirited discussions around the dinner table. You can always find someone willing to push his opinion of what government should be. But what does God's Word say about government, whether you live here in the United States or in some other country? Find out today on Grace to You as John MacArthur looks at the purpose of government, the God-honoring role it can have in society, and what your response should be to civil authorities. It's all a part of a brand new message titled, How God Restrains Evil in Society. And now, here's John MacArthur with today's lesson.
The deadliest force in the world is not nature, not winds, not rains, not earthquakes. Dangerous force is not animals, jungle. The dangerous force, most dangerous and deadly force, is humans. They can plot evil. They can devise harm. They're not like animals who kill because they're designed to kill. That's how the food chain works. Humans are designed to give life. They are amazingly crafty at creating death. So, God had to build into human life barriers, restraints to mitigate this evil, to mitigate this corruption, to subdue sinful passion and expression so that man could make a society and be civilized and enjoy his creation and find happiness and peace and a measure of joy and gratitude. These restraints are absolutely critical. Where these restraints function as God intended them to function, life is good, people enjoy common graces, life is rich, and God is thanked. Where these restraints are assaulted, corrupted, diminished, rebelled against, society is on the brink of self-destruction. Basic to the well-being of humanity are these four powerful restraints. I'm going to name them for you and kind of explain them. Number one, conscience. Conscience. This is a personal authority. This is a personal restraint. This is a personal force. The second restraint that God has created is family. Family. While conscience is a personal restraint, family is a relational restraint. Family is the building block of society. Family is the building block of civilization. God has established the family to be a loving, truthful, exemplary place that restrains evil in the next generation. The family becomes the divinely given institution for the formation of restrained sinners who, by multi-generational morality and wisdom, with instruction and discipline in love, develop into good citizens who benefit others, enjoy God's creation, and are thankful to Him. Now I want to come to the third restraint that God has given us, civil authority. Civil authority. And this is where all of you come in. This is a societal restraint. This is a societal restraint. Biblically, the prime duty of civil authority, if you look at the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, is not charity, it's not economics. The primary duty of civil authority is the moral well-being of its citizens. It is restraining sinners and rewarding those who do good so that we can be civilized, enjoy a measure of peace and joy in life and God's creation. The civil government uses an even increased threat. The law of God in the heart has a threat, conscience, which will pile guilt on. The family has a threat, the rod, which will discipline the disobedient child. Civil government has an even greater force, even a deadly force, if necessary. Civil government is a God-ordained institution to restrain sinners. In 1 Peter, Peter, who was writing this letter to believers that were being killed by the government, martyred by those who hated Christianity and the Christian gospel, he's writing to people that are going to give up their lives for what they believed. And listen to what he says, 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Wow. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every kittisis is the Greek word here. It doesn't really mean a human institution in that sense, because the word is never used in the Bible unless it's referring to something God ordained. It should say to every God-ordained institution, whether to a king as one in authority or to officials. The call here is submit. Submit. To the individual, God has said, submit to the law of God and your conscience. To the child, submit to the law of God and your parents. To the citizens, submit to the law of God as enforced by the civil authorities. Submit. And in this case, he says, whether to a king, and we'll start with that. The whole world had kings. There were no democracies in the ancient world. Everybody knew what it was to be under a civil authority, under unilateral rule, which was only as benevolent as the ruler. Could be mitigated by various agencies. But in the case of those to whom Peter is writing, this is a violent and aggressive kind of brutality that is characteristic of the Roman world. But still, we are to submit to the one in authority. Then in verse 14, or to governor, the word is hegemosyn, from which we get hegemons. Hegemons is an English word that means leaders. Sometimes you may have read about hegemony. Hegemony is a term that describes a nation subduing other nations. Hegemony. It's an interesting word. Very interesting word. It can refer in a general sense in English to leadership. Hegemony can be leadership. What is the purpose of this leadership? Keep reading in 1 Peter 2:14 and 2, hegemons or leaders, because they're sent by God for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. So we as individuals, officers, leaders in the police and law enforcement, you want to give honor to those who do right. You want to reward good citizenship, and you do that. We do that on an international scale by giving money, massive amounts of money constantly to nations that we deem are doing the right things, doing good, benefiting their citizens, working hard at that. But at the same time, you also punish evil doers. By the way, the word punishment there is actually the Greek word for vengeance. You say, well, doesn't the Bible say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord? Isn't God the one who is the avenger? Yes, God is the avenger, but he's delegated his vengeance to you. He's delegated his vengeance to the leaders who represent the government for the punishment of evildoers. For the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right, for such is the will of God. That's just an amazing thing to think about. God has put you where he's put you and delegated to you the responsibility to restrain sinners by rewarding good and punishing evil. God has done the same thing to the military, and that has happened globally. I would go so far as to say that even a local policeman who knew he could stop a crime and didn't do it would fail in his duty. You know that. A police department that knew about crime and failed to work to stop it would fail to do its duty. And I would go so far as to say a nation that knows about deadly crime and fails to do what it can has shirked its duty. To him that knows to do right, the Bible says, and does it not, to him it is sin. And this submission to government is universal, for the command says, submit yourselves to every human institution. And remember now, at the time Peter wrote this, these believers were being accused of rebellion against Rome. They were being accused of atheism because he didn't worship Caesar. They were accused of cannibalism because of the Lord's table, which people misrepresented. They were accused of immorality, incest, damaging trade, wrecking homes because somebody would come to Christ and the other person wouldn't, and it would be a difficult marriage. They were accused of hating the world, disloyal to Caesar. They were even accused of leading a slave rebellion. None of it was true. It was all lies, but they were martyred for those accusations. And yet, Peter says, submit. Why? Because God has placed civil government, even with its failures and even when it gets twisted, in place to restrain evil. It's not going to be perfect, but we submit. It is God who has designed it. It keeps society safe. Those who have the power to restrain evil must do it, and God has given that power to civil authorities. Romans 13, and that was all sort of the introduction. I want to just look at Romans 13 for a minute. Romans 13 is a kind of a critical passage on this theme. Romans 13, and I'm going to read just a few verses at the beginning. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it, civil authority, is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it doesn't bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Now, again, you're talking about a period of time when Paul wrote those words to the Christians that they were living in an absolute monarchy with heavy taxation, military occupation. There were 60 million slaves. Christians and Jews were viewed as aliens, enemies, unworthy, underprivileged. And yet, instruction, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Every person. We literally submit to all representatives of civil authority. Why? For several reasons. Follow the reasoning. Number one reason, civil government is by divine decree. There is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. He's talking about authority in general. He's not advocating a monarchy or a democracy or a republic or any other form of government itself. Government as an entity, as it exists in any form, is a gift from God to restrain evil. No special form is advocated anywhere in Scripture. The powers that be, whatever they are, the ones that exist are established by God. That doesn't mean that every person in authority has some divine right, as kings used to like to say. Well, this means we have a divine right and we rise above all mortals and we can do what we want as if we were God. Not at all. It means that the government as an entity in any form is an institution of God. Civil government is so indispensable that in the moment when it ceases to exist, immediately it exists again in a different form. There cannot be any time period in which there is no civil authority. If there ever is time when government is removed and authority is absent, the wretchedness of the human heart explodes in deadly force. We all know this. So, civil government is by divine decree. Secondly, resistance to civil authority is rebellion against God. Verse 2, those who resist authority have opposed the ordinance of God. They've opposed the ordinance of God. Number 3, they'll be punished. And they who oppose will receive condemnation on themselves. You oppose the civil authority, you'll be punished by the civil authority, and then even by God. But I want you to get to verse 3 and 4. For rulers, our contest, those invested with power, in your case police, are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. For civil authority, listen to this, is a minister of God to you for good. I know you spend so much of your time dealing with bad, but it's the fact that you deal with the bad that produces the good for everybody else. We understand that. It's a noble, noble thing you do. It's a noble thing you do. You are a minister of God for good. A minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. It's what you do. But you are a minister of God. Why? God ordained government and God delegated the authority to execute that government through you. There are only two professions in the Bible that are called ministers of God, mine and yours. That's it. What a noble, exalted calling. What a noble, exalted calling. You are a minister of God to restrain sinners, to punish evildoers, to bring vengeance on evildoers, to bring good on everyone else. Just want you to notice one statement in the middle of verse 4. Government doesn't bear the sword for nothing. Wow. You have a sword. Personally, we have a conscience. Family, we have a rod. You have a sword. You are given by God the ultimate threat. The ultimate threat. The ultimate weapon that occasionally must be used to restrain evil. And God supports that. Genesis 9:6, God said this, "Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Capital punishment. You take a life made in the image of God, you give your life. When Peter grabbed a sword and wanted to defend Jesus, he said, "Put your sword away. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword." He was affirming the death penalty. If you do that, if you take anybody's life, Peter, you're going to have to give yours. This is the ultimate restraint. This is the role of police in the justice system. They are ministers of God for good who carry the terminal threat. The terminal threat. We see it extended globally in the military. Sometimes it comes to this. Sometimes it comes to this. Remember, God Himself sent a flood to drown a whole generation of sinners. This is a high calling. We don't need to fear you. We honor you. The reason we don't fear you is because we know you're ministers of God. We believe in the law of God. We believe in conscience. We believe in the family, mom and dad, raising godly children. We believe in teaching children obedience. We believe in producing generations of people who have wisdom, understanding, under discipline. We believe in the authority of government to fulfill God's purpose in the world. We're called in the Bible to be model citizens who live a quiet and tranquil life. Quiet and tranquil life. Who even go beyond our obedience. We pray for those who are in authority over us. Paul said, pray for those who are in authority over you. Verse 6, rulers are servants of God. Rulers are servants of God. They stand in God's place. The conscience is under assault. The family is under assault. Civil authority is under assault. I hate to see that. I hate to see that. You are serving God. As the law of God in the heart is twisted, as conscience crumbles, as the family crumbles, as civil authority is attacked by the culture, we move toward nihilism. the overthrowing of all institutions, and a kind of suicide. So we do everything we can to protect those things. There's a final restraint. The final restraint is the church. The church. That is a spiritual restraint. And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about the organized church, because there are a lot of false churches and a lot of phony religion, as you all know very well. I'm talking about true Christians, true believers. What makes us a restraint is because God has done a work in us that is internal. Police work is external. Family work is external in the sense that it's external applied force. Even conscience is a kind of an external mechanism. The real cure for problems in the world is to change human beings from the inside, because that's where all the sin comes from. And that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, everything has become new. If you sense that we're different, it's because it's not only because the conscience is working and the family did some things in some cases, in many cases, no. It isn't because we're afraid of you. It's because there is an internal restraint that is dominating the inside of us. In the language of the Bible, we have been given a new heart and a new spirit and a new disposition, and we have become new creations in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God has done a miracle and changed us on the inside so that we love God and we love others and we love the truth and we love the institutions of God. We become the real restraint because we have the message that changes hearts. I love it. Very few Sundays go by when somebody doesn't come up to me and introduce himself and say, I just got out of prison. I came to Christ. Maybe he was reading or listening or been out of prison a little while and the Lord has saved me and I want to be a part of your church. And when that true transformation takes place in the heart. That's what Jesus meant when he said you're born again. It's a new birth. You become a new kind of person. Salvation of God makes new hearts. Power of God then comes from the inside, overpowering that corruption. Not that we're perfect, but we have new desires, new longings, new aspirations, new hopes, new direction. The church then offers the ultimate restraint, a transformed heart. The work of God in salvation is the great restraining work. Father, we thank you that we've been able to be together this morning and to talk about your word again and its truth. So many more things, Lord, we could have said, perhaps should have said, but thank you for guiding and directing our thoughts today. Thank you for these ministers of yours who have come to us and who represent thousands and thousands more. Thank you for the service that they render. May they come to know you, the one they serve, through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for them. We pray for their well-being, their safety. We pray that they would know you through your Son. We thank you in His name. Amen.
You're listening to Grace to You with John MacArthur, president of the Master's College and Seminary. Today's lesson is from a message that John delivered to hundreds of members of law enforcement. It's titled, How God Restrains Evil in Society. Well, John, now that we've taken this 2 days to look at the role of government in society, talk a little bit about how our listeners can apply what they heard to their lives, their situation. In other words, what are some practical ways believers can support and honor those in authority over them?
Well, I think it comes down to fulfilling the design of God. In other words, listen to your conscience. Your conscience is a God-given mechanism to restrain evil in you personally. And listen to God's word regarding family.
parental virtue, parental love, parental discipline is critical to raise a generation of restrained sinners and support the government. God has ordained government. Policemen are ministers of God. What an amazing statement. That restrain evil on a national level or a community level. All of these divine restraints God has put in place, and they are to be honored. Conscience is to be honored and listened to. Parents are to be honored and obeyed. Government is to be honored, respected, and obeyed, because they don't carry the sword for nothing. God has given them the ultimate weapon to keep order and to restrain sinners. But at the end of it all, the church is the greatest restraint of evil, because the church has the gospel message that doesn't just restrain the sinner on the outside, but transforms the sinner on the inside. This is such an important message, so important. We're going to be giving you the opportunity to receive one free of charge. Just ask for the free CD message, How God Restrains Evil in Society. Contact us today.
This CD, which includes more than 30 minutes of material that we haven't had time to present, it would be a great resource to get a hold of and pass along to anyone who's struggling to understand the presence of evil in our society. To get a copy of the message CD, How God Restrains Evil in Society, contact us today. Send an email request to letters@gty.org or through the regular mail, Grace to You, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Just let us know you like the free CD message, How God Restrains Evil in Society. Call now, 1-800-55-GRACE, or visit our website, gty.org. And while you're online at gty.org, make sure you check out the Grace to You blog. It features articles by John and the staff on a variety of topics, including popular series like God's Design for the Family, Christ's Model for Personal Evangelism, and How to Slay Sin. And make sure you get involved in the discussion at the comments section and let us know your thoughts. To read the Grace to You blog and take advantage of thousands of other free resources, including John's Sermon Archive, which gives you access to more than 3,000 sermons by John, visit online at gty.org. And now for John MacArthur, our broadcast copywriter, Eric Dodson, and the entire staff, I'm your host, Carl Miller. Thanks for listening today. Invite a friend to join you right here tomorrow for another half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You. There's been talk for quite some time about revolutionizing the institution of marriage, but is that what society really needs? John MacArthur answers that question on tomorrow's Grace to You.